morning, honourable members. Good morning to my co-chair. Good morning to the National Commissioner, the DG of Public Works and the respective delegations, also to civil society and the media. You're all welcome to this joint committee meeting between police and public works. Honourable members, maybe before I give the reference for the meeting, and of course we're meeting with regard to the security matters in relation to Parliament and the role of police and public works, but let's first give an opportunity for the members of Parliament to introduce themselves, then I'll allow the National Commissioner to introduce his delegation and then the DG of Public Works also to introduce his delegation.
Goeiemôre, dames en heer. My naam is Angie Molewati, ek is al lid van die politie komitee, ek dank u. Thank you very much, Honourable Chairs, Honourable Members, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Manoko Masehela, Member of Public Works Committee. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Dennis Ryder. I'm a member of the Public Works Committee.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Malcolm Fick, a member of the Portfolio Committee on Public Works.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. A.M. Sheikh Imam, member of this committee, Portfolio Committee on Police.
Morning. My name is Lindon Jogo, member of Public Works Portfolio Committee.
I'm Diane Kohler-Barnard, also from the Police Portfolio Committee.
Then the line reserved for party leaders and whips.
Dankie, voorzitter. Nee, ek is daarom een lid van die komitee, maar het lyk my amper veel deel van die generale staf is hier so. Maar ek is Pieter Groenewald en ek is lid van die politiekomitee.
Good morning, I'm Jerome Make, a member of the police committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, I'm Zakel Mbele, member of the police committee.
Good morning, everybody. Honored members. My name is Humphrey Memezi, the Chair of Public Works Portfolio Committee. Thank you very much. You already got a warm welcome from my co-chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, co-chairperson. General Sitole.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and good morning, Honorable members and colleagues. Honorable Chair, the sub-delegation is as follows. They will make an indication as I maybe touch on their names. The first one is the Deputy National Commissioner for Human Resource Management, Reverend General Ngwenya. Deputy National Commissioner, Asset and Legal, Reverend General Vuma. Deputy National Commissioner, Management Advisory Services, Reverend General Mfazi. Deputy National Commissioner, Management Intervention, Reverend General Skete. Deputy National Commissioner Crime Detection, Lieutenant General Zumani. Divisional Commissioner Protection and Security Services, Lieutenant General Shikabane. Divisional Commissioner Supply Chain Management, Lieutenant General Mokwena. Divisional Commissioner Crime Intelligence, Lieutenant General Jacobs. Acting Divisional Commissioner Technology Management, Lieutenant General Masia. Acting CFO, Major General Nelson. Acting Divisional Commissioner, Operation and Response, Major General Mkwanazi. Major General Mutlane Protection and Security Services. Major General Sitelo, Head Facility Management Supply Chain. Major General Ravi, Head Strategic Management. Brigadier Peterson, Protection and Security Division, Western Cape. Brigadier van der Walt, Legal Service. Brigadier B. Matuku, Section Head Infrastructure Planning. Brigadier Tembani, Section Head Asset Operations Management. Brigadier V. Naidu, Spokesperson for National Commissioner. And Colonel K. P. Stain, Parliamentary Liaison Strategic Management. Thank you, Chair.
Very much, General Sitole. We will ask the DG of Public Works to introduce his delegation. DG, you're welcome.
thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, colleagues. I'm Sam Fugela, the DG of Public Works. I am with me here, colleagues. Mr. Sazona is the Chief Director responsible for the Prestige Portfolio. Mr. Batumofutu is responsible for Construction Project Management. Madam Nyele Timakuele, responsible for Facilities Management. Madam Tembeka Kolele, she's responsible for projects specifically here in the Western Cape, in Public Works. Madam Ganesh is the regional manager here in the Cape Town province, in the regional office Public Works. Madam Kahar, she's the director responsible for the portfolio prestige here in Cape Town. I've got also Madam Onke, George Advisory Services, and then Mr. Mpoma Shaba, Parliamentary Services. I think I've covered all of them. Thanks very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, DG. Honorable members, maybe just in terms of our program today, we will first have a presentation by the South African Police Service, and then that will be followed by a briefing by Public Works. We will also have a briefing initially by the researcher of the Portfolio Committee on Police, just to give the context of security measures at Parliament. And then, members, we've distributed the following documents for your reference and preparation. It's the briefing for today. There's a copy of the briefing that was made on the 4th of November 2015 to the Portfolio Committee on Police. And then there's also a copy of the PMG minutes of 3 November 2015. And of course, then also a research document, Security at the Parliamentary Precinct, the role of SAPS. It is an 8-page document that was distributed to members. So that's our reference and reading work to ensure that we have a good engagement. Now, honourable members, of course we are, I'm going to just say a few introductory remarks and I'll then give an opportunity to my co-chair also. We all have learned during the recent few weeks of the tragic incident on Friday, 14 September, when a member of parliamentary staff member took his own life at the workstation in 90 Plain Street. Of course, from the both portfolio committees, we want to extend our condolences and sincere sympathy to the families with regard to that incident. It's really a tragic story. Our focus really today will be on the security measures and the role and responsibilities of SAPS and also the roles and responsibilities of Public Works. Of course, there is a parliamentary investigation with regard to issues related to the incident and also issues that was raised in social and public media. It's not going to be our focus. Our focus is going to be in terms of our oversight responsibility, and that's dealing with the two departments that is primarily responsible for ensuring that we've got a safe environment. The security and safety at Parliament is of enormous importance. That's why we have got a special meeting. We've got permission from the House Chairperson to conduct that. Parliament is the seat of the national legislature. Members of Parliament, staff members, members of the public must be assured at all times that the environment is safe. If there's a breach of protocol or any incident that have got a negative effect, it must be properly investigated and there should be certain remedial action. And today's meeting is really to look at what happened, what is the current challenges, and then looking ahead, what can be done to ensure that we improve the situation. Co-chair?
Thank you very much, Co-chair. Honourable members, when you are faced with a problem that indeed started on the 14th of September, you need to be a bit focused because we must also take into account the family, the children, the colleagues that are affected. So whatever we do, we should always play the role of being comforters. So the fact that we have pulled you away from your constituency do also indicate how urgently we have seen and put into this matter. As both chairs, we were discussing with the chair of chairs of parliament, and indeed we are here today. I think one of the key things that we have already discussed is that we need, as the portfolio of public works and also the portfolio dealing with the police, because we chair as public works, we are the owners of the building and some other infrastructure material that is used. So we need to have regular meetings. So it's important that we must focus on those regular meetings, and we also have a duty to look into our technocrats doing the same, so that we always, you know, security matters are matters that need to be checked regularly, updated regularly, because you don't want to use the technology that is not in terms of the latest technology. So I think with the presentation that we are going to get, it is not the end of the story. What is key is what do we do working towards the future and ensuring that on an ongoing process, we ensure that the people of South Africa, the employees of this institution are aware that indeed we are spending no minutes without checking and updating the security. So, Coach, we would rely to the presenters, would rely to honorable members, not only finishing today, we are going to be ensuring that we continue providing security into this institution. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Coach. I also want to welcome the Honorable Minister of Police, Honorable Becky Taylor. Welcome to him. Also welcome to Honorable Ramatakane, member of the Police Committee. We received two apologies, one from the Minister of Public Works and the Deputy Minister. The Minister, I think, is overseas, and the Deputy Minister is busy with other business, I think, in Pretoria. But we're very glad that the Minister of Police is here. We appreciate that. Honourable members, then we will ask our researcher to just give a brief overview of the context of today's meeting before we go to the SAPS meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable members. I'm just going to quickly go through the mostly international examples of security breaches at parliamentary precincts, also just a brief overview of the parliamentary security policy. Honourable members, security breaches at parliamentary precincts are a common occurrence worldwide. However, the vast majority of them are of a non-violent nature and mostly protest-driven. However, several serious incidents have been recorded in international precincts with the loss of life. Internationally, the security responsibility at parliamentary precincts are located with a parliamentary security service, which is then supported by police forces. These are mostly provided by unarmed police officers or guards, and then they call for armed response when needed. One of the main differences between our parliament and others are that there is a formalized agreement between the police and the parliamentary security services that coordinate the roles and responsibilities. And these are normally done through security planning offices or a similar structure. Honourable members, the security policy of the parliament was signed and approved in 2009 by the presiding officers. The policy applies to all the buildings and entrances on the parliamentary precinct. However, it should be noted that Tena is excluded from this policy. the responsibilities of the police and the parliamentary security service are well defined in the policy. However, there is also your responsibilities that is shared by both the police and the parliamentary security service. These include control center, the chamber security, reaction and incidents, events, and technical surveillance countermeasures. Honourable members, the lack of a formal service level agreement or memorandum of understanding makes the coordination of these dual responsibilities very difficult, and this leads to some of it falling through the cracks and not being addressed in a coordinated manner. Thus, there is a need for engagement between Parliament and the police to really clarify these roles and responsibilities. Honourable members, we had the Portfolio Committee on Police had a previous meeting on the 4th of November 2015 after protesters breached the security at the two entrances in the Lee Street and Parliament Street, as well as the student protest of 2015. Honourable members, during the meeting there was some discrepancy whether the parliamentary precinct can be considered as a national key point, as the precinct only has three designated or demarcated national key points, which is 120 Plain, Tainos, and the two Houses of Parliament. During the meeting, the police highlighted several security challenges, including, amongst others, poor access control at the precinct, the lack of shelter at vehicle entrances, which includes poor working conditions of guards in the guard huts, as there is no shelter from inclement weather. And this also includes the inadequate perimeter fence, which is only 1.2 meters high, and it's easy to jump over. Then also there is no checkpoints for vehicles or vehicle deliveries. Honourable members, 3 years later, these challenges still remain and should be addressed. And these challenges in terms of procurement of security equipment and upgrading of infrastructure is hampered through the third-party contracting between Parliament and DPW and contractors. It's also further hampered or made difficult by the fact that Parliament is a heritage site and needs approval from various heritage associations. Chairperson, honourable members, in conclusion, I just want to highlight some international examples of serious security breaches that included violence. These are most recent, or most notably recorded in Iran, Armenia, Canada, and India. In 2007, two terrorist attacks were carried out in the Iranian parliament and a nearby mausoleum. The attack left 17 civilians dead and 43 civilians injured. The 2017 attack in Westminster was the deadliest attack of its sort, when a car drove into pedestrians on the Westminster Bridge, injuring 50 civilians and killing five of them. The car then rammed into the perimeter fence of the Westminster Palace, and the attacker gained access to the parliamentary precinct. An unarmed officer was fatally stabbed, but the gunman was, or the attacker was, also then fatally shot. In 2014, a gunman killed a member of the Canadian Armed Forces at a memorial site, and then entered the adjacent parliamentary precinct while Parliament was in session. The attacker was also shot and killed, with no other civilian lives lost. In 2001, terrorists gained entrance to the Indian Parliament in a vehicle with the Home Ministry marking, and they take late to 14 days. Then a bit earlier, in 1999, five men entered the Armenian Parliament with AK-47 rifle hidden under their coats. During the attack, eight people were killed, including the Prime Minister, a Cabinet Minister, the Speaker of the House, two Deputy Speakers of the House, and three Members of Parliament. Honourable Members, many other non-violent security breaches by protesters are highlighted in the paper, and Members can also then consider those. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much to the researcher. We will now go to the South African Police Service Minister. I don't know whether you want to, at this stage, say anything. You're welcome.
Absolutely not at this stage.
National Commissioner?
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, and Honorable Minister. Maybe, Chair, just as we will be starting with our presentation, it might just be important for me to briefly highlight the fact that, one, the process that we're dealing with is governed by two key legislations. One of them is the National Key Point Act, which is the current infrastructure control bill. And the second one is Strategic Intelligence Act. By virtue of the fact that Parliament is a national key point and is the highest strategic installation in the country, the two legislations, there's certain information that we can't share in public because of the presence of the media. We will provide as much information as we can and will also give responses to all questions. But when it comes to national security related issues, we are going to plead with the committee that we do not share that information, or we rather ask for a closed session. And then with your permission, Chair, our presentation will be led by Major General Ravi. Thank you.
Thank you, Jill. Jill.
Good morning, Honourable Chairs of the two committees, Honourable Minister and members of the two committees. As indicated by the National Commissioner, I will do a presentation to the two committees on the roles and responsibilities of the South African Police Service as far as the protection of National Parliament is concerned. In my presentation, we will primarily focus on giving the committees some background, also highlighting the functions of the South African Police Service, more specifically the Protection and Security Services in regards to the protection of Parliament, security breaches, briefing the two committees on the incident that took place on the 14th of September 2018, and then also focus on certain security deficiencies and challenges that has been identified at Parliament, and then make certain proposals on what needs to be done in Parliament to improve the current security situation, and end with a conclusion in this regard. As indicated, Honourable Chairs, the purpose of the presentation is to brief the committees. Unfortunately, we only mentioned the one, but we need to acknowledge that we are presenting the two committees on the responsibilities in protecting the National Parliament. Now, Honourable Chairs, as far as the mandate of the South African Police Service is concerned, it is clearly defined in Section 205 of the Constitution, where the objectives of policing are highlighted. That includes prevent and combating investigation of crime, the maintaining of public order, protecting and securing the inhabitants of the Republic and their property, and to uphold and enforce the law. Further to that, the Section 2181 also states that the National Commission shall be responsible for national protection services. And it further states that the National Commission may exercise the powers and shall perform the duties and functions necessary to give effect to Section 218 of the Constitution, that is with reference to the SATS Act. And now, in terms of the strategic regulatory and policy specifications, in response to the mandate that has been identified in terms of the Constitution, the South African Police Service established the Division Protection and Security Services. Now, the Division Protection and Security Services is responsible to render a professional, effective, and accountable protection and security services to all identified dignitaries and government interests in South Africa. And the following are the key functions of that respective division. It's provisioning of a VIP protection service, the provision of a static protection service, and further the provision of a regulatory service to all identified strategic installations, including your national key points. Now, further discussing the strategic, regulatory, and policy specification of protection services, Honourable Chairs and Members, I've already made reference to the key drivers, namely the South African Constitution, and that includes the Cabinet Memorandum that was signed or issued on the 11th of June 2003, that also impacts on the SAPS Act 1995. And then as far as the Protection Services Security Strategy is concerned, there are two elements that talks to the operational environment as well as your threats and risks that are driven by, first of all, the National Key Point Act of 1980 that talks to national key points, government buildings, and parastatals. And linked to that is your physical security regulations. And then we have the REMAS document, cabinet, that is part of Cabinet Memorandum 1A of 2004, that specifically talks to the identified government installations, and based on that, it necessitated the establishment of a static protection capability within the South African Police Service. Now, the Physical Security Measures Regulatory Framework, the SAP Security Advisory Services, referred to as SAS, is mandated to conduct physical security appraisals at all identified installation government buildings as part of the risk-limiting principles of the security strategy and to make recommendations on appropriate security measures to ensure that we delay, detect, or prevent unauthorized intrusion to a facility, activate appropriate responses to such attempts on or actual gaining of unauthorized intrusion, the implementation of physical security measures to safeguard employees, contractors, and visitors from harm, and to secure information and documents at the appropriate facility. Now, further to that, the minimum physical security standard states further that when providing facilities to institutions, the National Department of Public Works must ensure the following. There must be a physical security measures as prescribed by the SAPS for department institution as part of the contracting processes that should be adhered to. A threat and risk assessment conducted by the relevant national intelligence structures, security assessment of facilities or drawings, architectural design thereof, or undertaken by the SAT before any agreement is entered into to procure the property for an institution, and all recommendations of the SAPs are implemented. The SAPs are involved in all structural improvement done to maintain the minimum physical security levels of the institution, and the security section is exposed to appropriate security-related training to empower them in the performance of their functions. Honourable Chairs, that should give some background on the functions of static protection. If you look at the component itself, the key components of the security strategy for static protection basically includes four elements. First of all, it's the issue of access control. It talks to the issue of intelligence that relates to that specific responsibility, personal security with reference to clients in their respective environments, and physical security measures. Now, basically, in essence, that refers to the key components that this specific entity is responsible for, taking into account that that responsibility is influenced by a number of external factors that we would like to highlight further in the presentation, talking to society, talking to the heritage issue, and also talking to the infrastructure deficiencies that we would also like to highlight during or further in this presentation. The functions of SAPS, specifically the Protection and Security Services in protecting Parliament. Now, the principles or the protection principles that applies as far as Parliament includes is to, the primary aim thereof is to, of access control is to safeguard Parliament as a strategic government installation and to ensure the safety and protection of VIPs within the parliamentary precinct. Now, the access control is executed through the following five primary functions. The first two relates to the SAP's responsibility, that is the screening of person who seeks access to determine if the person is a legitimate visitor and whether he has a reason for visiting the premises is a valid one. The search and screening of persons and vehicles for harmful items, that including perimeter patrol and protection, and the established response teams within the parliamentary precincts. With reference to the Parliament Protection Service responsibility, that includes the record keeping of access, the issuing of permits, and the escorting of visitors to the said offices that has been identified in the permits. Honourable Chair, then we will just take the two committees through the incident that took place on the 14th of September, the unfortunate incident. On the 14th of September at 9:55, a member attached to the International Relations Policy Analysis of Parliament, Mr. Al-Gharani, arrived at the building, basement area, and he entered the access control area at the basement. He showed his permit to the static protector that was on duty at the time, but he walked through without placing his bag through the X-ray machine that was part of the access screening process or protocols. Now, when he arrived at the office, one of his co-workers, Mr. Muzufukile, he appeared, according to him, appeared despondent, and he said something in the line of wishing to say farewell. Mr. Sambona from Parliament Wellness and Health was informed, and he was called to speak to Mr. Gharani in his office. When, upon observation that Mr. Gharani was not looking well, Mr. Sambona went to arrange for an ambulance to take him to hospital. The deceased then locked his office after Mr. Sambona left, and Mr. Sambona at that time did not witness any firearms in the office. Later, a staff member sitting across the office of Mr. Gharani heard a gunshot, and he called the Protection and Security Services control room for assistance. The SAP static protection, static response team responded to the call at the scene, where they found the door was locked from the inside. And through a window in the door, they were able to see Mr. Gharani sitting on a couch in the office with a wound in his head and what would at the time appear to be a firearm on his chest. The door was then forcefully opened, and Mr. Gharani was found with a bullet wound to the head, and he was then pronounced dead on the scene by the emergency services that responded to the incident. The firearm that was used during the incident is a fully licensed firearm, and it belonged to the deceased. A suicide letter was also found on the table of a staff member working with Mr. Gharani. Mr. Gharani was an authorized permit holder to the building, and he was entitled to access the building. The static protector that was on duty at the time contravened the static protection security standard operating procedure by allowing Mr. Gharani to gain access to the building without being screened. An inquest has been registered with reference Cape Town Central CAS 710 of 9/2018. The static protector in question was served on the 15th of September 2018 with a notice of intended suspension in terms of the disciplinary regulations that is being applied by the South African Police Service. And the prescribed disciplinary procedure was also initiated against the static protector. Honourable Chairs, I just would like to mention that during the meeting this morning, the instructions were given by the National Commissioner that as far as the disciplinary proceedings be concerned, that it is not only limited to the static protector, but all people that are involved in that specific responsibility. As far as the security deficiencies and challenges are concerned, Chair, as the South African Police Service, we would like to raise the following. The approach that is being used by the South African Police Service to protect Parliament is in line, first of all, with international standards, with reference to the layered approach that we follow. There are several shortcomings that we've identified as far as the security measures are concerned, and primarily because the specific measures that are being identified are not properly implemented or they are not working effectively. Now, if the measures that are necessary to protect Parliament, if they are not properly implemented and if they are not working properly, that will compromise the implementation of our security strategy. The current paper slip issue to visitors poses challenges in terms of control. On the presentation, Honourable Chair, you will further note examples that is currently problematic as far as the premises are concerned. There's reference to access control mechanisms that are out of order. There's metal detectors that are out of order at the time when the photographs were taken. The third photograph refers to two metal detectors that are out of order. And the last one, in terms of the screening of deliveries, the X-ray machine highlighted in that photograph was also out of order at the time of the photographs. And then there's an example of the current permit, paper permit, that is being issued to visitors of Parliament. Further to that, Honourable Chairs, the asset, we do not have a proper asset control tracking system in place to prevent the unauthorised removal of equipment, specifically with reference to computers, etc., from or removing those type of equipment from Parliament. We also experience on a daily basis that there is an increased volume of visitors to Parliament, and the figures that are quoted there, it ranges from 35 to 105 delegates per tour that comes to visit Parliament on a regular basis. Further, the layout of access control point and the setup equipment is not conducive for proper access control. If you study the photographs that we've indicated included in the presentation, you will note that to implement the requirement of the security strategy, the specific the point of access where you need to apply the protocol needs to be conducive for proper access control. There's also incidents of parking of vehicles and buses on the precincts that is not properly managed and subsequently blocked the emergency routes and exits. We've included a photograph at the bottom of buses that are parked inside the parliamentary precinct. And the honourable members will note that there's a couple of the buses in line, and that, as we already indicated, compromises the emergency routes and access. Further, we also have cooperation with clients. Now, when we refer to clients, we refer to people that do visit Parliament. We refer to people working in Parliament, where they do not support the security strategy in terms of not acknowledging the work and the importance of the work that has been done by the static protectors. And they don't respect the measures that are required to enforce proper access control to Parliament. Then, as far as the service delivery meetings are concerned, as the South African Police Service and the responsibility that we have, it is necessary for us to meet with stakeholders within the precinct on a regular basis to address matters of mutual concern with reference to your security and access control. And you will note that they are not always readily available to get involved in these type of meetings. And then also lastly and very critical is that there's no contingency evacuation drills that takes place on a regular basis as far as the Parliament is concerned. Other specific concerns, Honourable Chairs, if you note the photograph that is on the two photographs on the screen, you will note that there's no search park for the parliamentary complex. That means we do not have a facility where we can properly search vehicles before they enter the premises. On the example, the Lily Street entrance, X-ray 5, you will note there is an example of a vehicle. The photograph on the right is clear that there, before you get into the premises, before the boom, it's a single access street and from both sides, but you do not have space to park vehicles there to search them. That means if you look at the first photograph, the vehicle has to enter the premises and then be searched. But the problem with that is that they've already compromised the principles of effective access control. The cameras that have been installed are not in sequence, and it makes it difficult to follow an intruder within the parliamentary precinct. That is something that is very important for your people, that your personnel that are in the control rooms. If they have visuals of people on the premises, it needs to be properly sequenced so that you can follow the movements of an individual. That is problematic at the moment. There's no demarcation zoning of areas of importance, such as an example of the offices of the presiding officers. There's a lack of a speaker's corner, and what complicates that, Honourable Chair, is the fact that we've seen that there's an increase in the number of marches to Parliament, and it's important that for that purpose that there be a dedicated space or an allocation as a speaker's corner where we can deal with visitor or the marches to Parliament. The parliamentary site or precinct is declared as a heritage site, and approval must be obtained from the South African Heritage Resource Agency as well as the Western Cape Heritage before any infrastructure changes can be considered. For example, Honourable Chair, you will also note that the perimeter fence to Parliament is only 1.2 metres high, and I think it's only logical that it's easy to access the premises where you have perimeter fencing of only 1.2 metres, as illustrated in the photograph. Further complicating the challenges that we are currently facing, Honourable Chairs, is the fact that where we have to apply access control, specifically at the gates, we do not have proper shelter at the main entrances that exposes our members to the elements where you have extreme weather conditions. So you might find that when a vehicle, as per the examples listed below, the X-ray 5 entrance, Lely Street and Ruland Street, where members are expected when a vehicle is parked, they need to go out into the rain. So it's not a covered area where they can properly apply access control and the searching of vehicles. There's also not properly protection, proper protection of the members. We have guard huts where they can protect themselves, or they can not hide, but you know, when there's an incident and they need to react according to the specific threat, that they can do it from a space where they are also protected. When we look from a society perspective, Honourable Chair, there's also a problem with homeless people at night that are using the parliamentary outer perimeter boundary as a safe haven because they know that the police service patrol it on a regular basis, so they have some level of comfort that there is police presence. But that poses another risk for the South African Police Service in terms of protecting the premises. There is no control over occupants or visitors to the private lodge within the parliamentary precinct. Then we are also facing with a dilemma, Honourable Chairs. On the one hand, we have the principle of a people's parliament that is open and transparent and accessible to the people. Where on the one hand, you have that. On the other hand, you also need to protect the people winning of parliament, and you need to protect the institution, you need to protect the premises. And then we've already made reference to the fact that there's an increase in marches to Parliament, and we do not have a dedicated space where we can deal specifically with those marches to Parliament. The current capability, Honourable Chairs, that we have from a SAPS perspective, we have a unit commander at the level of a lieutenant colonel. We have supervisors on each of the shift on the level of a captain. The current deployment at Parliament is 334 static protectors that are operating in two shifts of 12 hours. That's from 6 to 6 in the day and 6 to 6 at night. And the day shift is further then supplemented with an additional 8-hour shift over peak times of Parliament, that is specific times or periods of Parliament. The way forward and our conclusion, with effect from the 1st of October, Honourable Chairs, the following measures will be implemented as far as access control are concerned. Permit holders must produce permits for identification purpose and wear it visibly. All permit holders will in future make a declaration to the designated security official whether they are in possession of any firearm or other harmful objects. All permit holders will be subject to a screening process as stipulated within the security policy of Parliament, and all vehicles entering the parliamentary precinct must be in possession of the required vehicle parking. This and vehicles will be searched according to the procedure. They also, in support of that, it is requested that the Acting Secretary to Parliament sensitize all permanent permit holders of what I've highlighted in terms of point number one. And we will also table a request to the Speaker of Parliament to enforce the establishment of a joint planning committee for Parliament in accordance with the National Key Point Act. And that should then ensure that there's regular engagements with, for example, DPW on challenges with equipment and layout of access points and maximum utilization of technology in securing the parliamentary precinct. The additional static protection deployment at Parliament, Honourable Chairs, includes the following planned initiatives. As far as the outer perimeter is concerned, we have 6 vehicle and pedestrian access control points. The intention is to increase it from a current 1 to 2 to 5 static protectors per posting. And as far as the inner perimeter is concerned, we have 16 access control points at our buildings within the parliamentary precinct, and the intention is to increase the current 1 to 2 to 3 to 5 statutory protectors per posting. As far as the statutory protectors are concerned, all statutory protectors will be briefed with regard to the improved security measures and the role in the responsibility of the statutory protection component in this regard. There will also be enhanced command and control, the zoning of parliamentary precinct in more manageable areas, and designating of supervisors to these zones, and also to enhance our processes currently where supervision is applied in terms of visiting your access points to ensure that the standard operating procedures are being applied, and where necessary also arrange the refresher courses for our static protectors. Just with reference to the professionalization of static protection, the implementation of a protection capability management strategy for a workforce of excellence, we are currently focusing on the job-specific requirements and the selection of static protection to ensure that we have optimal training programs or personnel development programs for the static protectors, developed an appropriate and viable career pathing opportunities, reward strategy, as well as an exit strategy. In conclusion, Honourable Chair, it was an unfortunate incident, and sometimes these unfortunate incidents happen and we realize that we have been neglecting certain processes, and it's difficult to understand why such things need to happen before we need to realize that we need to improve things. So this emphasized the need for an integrated stakeholder engagement with the view to improve security in Parliament. It's one of the key matters that we would like to raise, Honourable Chair, that protecting Parliament is not only the responsibility of the South African Police Service. There are a couple of key stakeholders involved, and it's of utmost importance that we approach it in an integrated manner. Likewise, the SAP will embark on a program to professionalize the static protection component as part or as it is envisaged in the National Development Plan, where we have a well-resourced professional institution that has been staffed by skilled officers who value their work in support and to taking South Africa to a safer situation. Honourable Chair, thank you. That is my presentation.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Honourable members, we now want to afford the DG of Public Works to present to us the department's site.
Thanks very much, Honourable Chairs and Honourable Members. Our presentation will be talking to what has already been presented, as we are the service department, of which the Department of Police, South African Police, is our client, and also Parliament, with respect to security measures. We are going to take the Joint Committee through the presentation, which is in brief, in terms of areas that we are covering, and then those which we are planning to do going forward. And we take kindly to the presentation of our client, the South African Police, in relation to the requirements that we need to have an integrated stakeholder approach when it comes to these matters. I will ask Mr. Sazona to take us through the presentation. Mr. Sazona.
Thank you very much, DG. And the chairpersons of the Joint Committee. We will be quite brief, not as a response to the presentation by our client and colleagues in SAPS, but to augment what SAPS has also presented. We wanted to take the Portfolio Committee on the to give presentation on the status of the of security measures in the present. And two, we wanted to also talk on the circumstances surrounding the incident that happened on the day. But we'll suspend this one because the report has already been provided by SAPS and it's accurate and correct in our view. Public Works responsibility is responsible for the infrastructure in Parliament and all other national key points and other sites and areas. particularly in Parliament, Public Works have, particularly in the past 3 years, from 2015, after the presentation that was made by SAPS on issues that security breaches or gaps on the security in Parliament that were identified, the five areas. In 2016, the department resuscitated a project called the Entrance Project, which was focusing particularly on those issues. That project basically was looking at the entrance, at the entrances, the nine entrances, external entrances, to improve the access control around those areas. It was also looking at the vehicle search park that we proposed it to be created at the newest, and also the K9 holding area for bomb explosive unit, and also the anti-drug barriers and the perimeter intruders detection system and enhanced illumination and enhanced the CCTV TV cameras, and also the perimeter fence in the prison. That project was SAPS is also part of the, SAPS and Parliament is part of the project team to look at that. One of the difficulties we had are the approvals that we have to receive from SARA and the Western Cape Heritage, which are in the process of us concluding those. We are looking at initiating the process of starting the project in 2018 and completing it in 2020. In respect of the maintenance of security equipment in Parliament, the department has contracted EOH, which is running the contract, which is coming to an end now in 2018. One of the responsibilities of the contract is to ensure that all the equipments that are in Parliament, including the scanners, the X-ray scanners, the detectors, that are being maintained at all times. On a fortnight basis, there is a meeting between EOH, SAPS, and Parliament Security Services to discuss all the security breaches, and if there are any of those security breaches, Public Works, they can be logged through the Public Works system to EOH to look at how to address those issues. I want to take the call with what the DG said in terms of the integrated approach. We are in constant discussion with SAPS if there are any security breaches. However, as a department, as an implementing department, at times we have to concede that for us to implement some of the new security measures, it takes time because of the project, of how the project cycle is implemented within the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. DG, are you fine?
We are fine, Honorable Chair. With respect to the incident, we won't go there. We concur with what has been presented by our colleagues. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I'll hand over to my co-chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, we will now go to questions. Members must also identify themselves because we do not naturally know everybody from both committees. Maybe the first three from my side, then I'll go to my co-chair and then all the other members. The first issue is a question to Public Works. Now, in terms of the presentation that was made by the parliamentary researcher, certain gaps was identified in 2015. Now, it's 3 years later, those gaps are still there. Now, what is going to be done to ensure that those gaps are dealt with? A question to the National Commissioner. We had the incident, we saw in your presentation the gaps with relation to machinery equipment. Can you give assurance to the parliamentary committees today that those issues have been addressed and security at Parliament is at a secure level? Can we have that assurance from your side? Then one of the issues that was also raised in 2015, and it's also raised today in the presentation from the police on page 25, is the existence of a joint planning committee. Now, there's no joint planning committee currently in place. Why? Can we may have reasons for that? Over to the chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, we will now give you the opportunity to ask questions like my co-chair requested. will also request you to identify yourself. Honorable member, you will be the first one, the second one, the third one, the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, the eighth, nine. Honorable members would come. You would be the tenth one. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, chairpersons. We have here the two of the responsible bodies. These two are physically responsible for what happened in this tragic incident. Perhaps the internal investigation will highlight others, but that's not for us, and I don't think it's for us to be apportioning blame one way or another, frankly. We have to understand that no one can guard an individual and what they do in their own home or in their own office. The problem here is that a firearm has come onto the premises. That is the issue that the only issue we can be looking at, and the question has to be, how did it get here? And look, we do know, and it has been determined before, that a firearm can be chucked over a wall anywhere around here, easy as that. If someone is in the premises, they can come and do immeasurable harm. But that then falls to public works. Now, we've had many issues at police stations where they've begged for security, where walls have been bulldozed down by public works and fly-by-night contractors have stolen the money and gone, and they've sat for years with zero security. So when we hear about the need for a scanner here in Parliament, we don't have any scanners on any of the borders. I can't see that SAPS or Public Works are going to be able to afford that. So I think we have to look at workable solutions. I don't think we can answer for a person's state of mind, and frankly, if a person wants to do or is so desperate, they can go to the top of a building and jump. How are you going to prevent that? So the issue of the firearm, and frankly, unless we put electric fencing around this whole precinct and literally strip search everybody that comes in, I don't know how we're going to get around this, but certainly procedures have to be tightened up. I'm most concerned to hear that some of the scanners are faulty. Who does that fall under? Does it fall under SAPS? Does it fall under Public Works? Because that is a problem. If people are strolling through and nothing goes off and nothing warns you that there's a firearm tucked on their hip, how are you to know? So that is a major issue of concern. And finally, just to point out, we're now working under the Critical Infrastructure Protection Act. So it's no longer national key points. So I think we do need a briefing of how that will have what impact that will have on the security of Parliament. Thank you.
Very much. Thank you. Number two.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. Chair, allow me to first ask a question before we start, Chair. I see SAPS is here, Public Works is here, Portfolio Committee on Police is here. Should Parliament not have been here as well? You know, to so that they are aware of exactly what is going on.
To respond to that, I think we said in the beginning of the meeting the focus is going to be on the incident that happened and the security incident. Of course, there might be recommendations at the end of the meeting that will involve Parliament. For example, measures that must be taken by Parliament in terms of the protection services or interaction with the police. But I mean, the purpose is really where we've got jurisdiction, and that is jurisdiction in terms of police and public works.
Thank you, Shea. The reason why I was saying that is because you can see from 2015 there's a report of the weaknesses and the challenges that exist at Parliament, and to be honest with you, very little or nothing has been done. It took the death of one of our colleagues, and my condolences to his family, a protest death, the way I understand it, to be able for us to now realize that we have serious challenges, despite the fact that there's been reports from 2015. But, Chair, I just want to say that everything seems to be okay. I see there's some report here saying we're putting in measures and things, and clearly I want to say that is not the case. I can take the whole lot of you now outside, and I promise you will be able to drive in now. Nobody will search that vehicle at all. Right now we can do it, and I'll guarantee you, nobody will search that vehicle at all. So it's continuing despite what has actually happened. That's the first thing I think. Now, you know, I don't know, we already presuming, or we already, I think, there's a perception out there that maybe this the deceased brought the gun in person, despite all the other weaknesses in terms of how, and I think my colleague is correct, that we're not sure. It could have been thrown over, lots of things could have happened, it can come in a vehicle, it could come in a vehicle with a member of parliament or anybody, because we're driving, nobody checks us whatsoever. But I also want to take this committee to a challenge, even that SAPS breached, because SAPS itself is not allowed to come and do any investigation on the premises. And SAPS has come in here, two officers of your police station down the road came here and breached that. In fact, misled the security and came to conduct investigations here. So there seems to be, you know, a whole, for me, a lot of challenges in terms of that. Now, we're talking about escorting of visitors. I can assure you, Chair, it never, ever happens. Visitors come in there, they are signing in, they are presumed to have been perfect, innocent, stable, everything else, and they are allowed into the premises. Nobody ever escorts them to any one of us, I can assure you, never, ever happens. If it does, then I think it is a rarity. So for me, I think it is a matter that needs to be addressed. Now, the other issue is this, that for me is that if you go now and have a look at your checkpoints, each one of them, none of them seem to have the detectors which you can detect metal or firearm or whatever it is, not a single one of them. Whether you're talking about the Good Hope Gate, whether you're talking about the gate at the bottom, I'm not really sure, but the other one, because we use mainly this too, and even the third one. Now, I want to point out that if there's going to be a terrorist attack in this parliament, it's the easiest target you can find anywhere in the country. If you look at the security that we have at these checkpoints, they are basically, I can tell you, there's absolutely like no security at all. So if there is going to be an attack, I can tell you it's going to be fatal here. So I want to urge us that the fact that we've identified the challenges and we have done very little or nothing about it, we have to take it seriously and make sure this is implemented as a matter of absolute urgency. And Parliament must come to account, because Parliament is also equally responsible for the security of the people. And to me, it seems like that Parliament itself seems to be out of this thing. And it's just been pushed onto the SAPS and parliamentary security, when Parliament itself is the one that's providing, that is actually employing these people to provide those services. I'll stop there for now, Chair.
Very much. Dr. Fick?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I just have a few issues that I would like to refer to, and specifically with regards to the presentation by SAPS. The first one with regard to all these items that are not working. Now, in the presentation, the presenter indicated that the static protector is going to be disciplined and has been disciplined. But what about the persons that are responsible for ensuring that those access controls are and should be working? What about those persons? Surely somebody should be held accountable with respect to that. So that is seriously problematic, and I believe that in terms of the failure to ensure that the machinery and the access control is working or not working, that those persons should be held accountable, Chairperson. Slide number 18, there are a whole lot of issues that are indicated there with regards to they being unable to, and I want to refer to slide 19 as well, unable to search vehicles. Now, again, this is a situation that is avoidable. It cannot be allowed. I have better control at my house than we have control at the key point here. So clearly it's unacceptable. We have 334 members on the precinct, and we cannot ensure that there's proper searching of vehicles or a proper access point to ensure that vehicles are able to be searched. Surely something is wrong. I wonder the people that are on the precinct, I wonder how qualified they are to ensure that the mandate is achieved. Maybe that's where we need to look at in the first place, is to ensure that the people that are appointed those people are actually adequately qualified. That seriously is a problem. If you can't see that allowing a vehicle onto the premises before or searching it after it gets onto the premises, surely it's problematic. And then I want to refer to slide number 25. That second bullet point is a bit confusing there for two reasons. One, it says all permit holders will in future make a declaration. So what about the visitors? Are they not going to be making a declaration? That's the first point. The second point is making a declaration can't be adequate because why should people be allowed to take their firearms onto the precinct? Surely you should stop it. Surely there should be some way where they should be allowed or they should be instructed to leave it and then collect it and then leave the precinct. You can't walk onto the premises. The third bullet point on that same slide, Chairperson, mention is made of a security policy. Now, is there a document? I am not so sure if I've seen a document. Where is that policy? My recollection of that, or the talk of a policy, is that it should have been a policy that should have been established about 3 years ago, but I have not seen any policy. So, is there a policy? Where is that policy? And then, with regards to the qualification, I'm pleased to see that the refresher courses for static protectors will be held and so forth, and professionalism. So clearly, it's an acceptance that, or an indication that you're aware that the persons on the precinct are not adequately qualified, so they need to be qualified. And then lastly, Honourable Chairperson, I just have one question to the Public Works Department, just regarding this EOH. Again, I'm aware that that company has shares with Grid Technologies and FDA. And the reason why I'm making mention of that is that FDA being favored to do the contract. My question is that when you favor companies to do contract, are you sure you're getting the best company to do the contract, or are you ensuring that your friends are getting the contract? So I just want to get, how far are we with regards to that appointment of EHO who has shares in FDA? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Reda. Oh, Honorable Reda,
I promoted you. Thank you very much, and thank you for the promotion. Yes, my name is Dennis Ryder. Thank you, Chairpersons, for the opportunity, and I'd like to appreciate the presentations from both departments. Thank you very much for putting your preparation into that. I'd like to acknowledge the death of Mr. Garani and extend my condolences to his family as well, and to his colleagues. A most unfortunate incident, and I think that the best that we can do as members is to make sure that we learn and improve based on this unfortunate incident. I'd like to point to the committee of the Committee on Police's presentation, or the Police Department's presentation, sorry, starting on page 14, where it's just giving some details about the incident in question, and it says that Mr. Garani arrived at 90 Plain Street, etc. He showed his permit in direction of the SAPS static protector and walked through without placing his bag through the X-ray machine. If you then go to page 15, it says the static protector contravened the static protection standard operating procedure by allowing Mr. Garani to access the building without screening. Now, if I can refer now to a newspaper article that appeared in the City Press on the 23rd of September, where there's some quotes coming from Motlatsi Mokgatla, the former Deputy Head of Parliament's Protection Services, who makes some very valid points, but specifically this is the one that I want to point, and I'm quoting directly. In my experience, there are staff members who are managers and even MPs who refuse to allow the police to do their job. They refuse to be searched and will shout, "Do you know who I am? I'm a member of parliament, or I'm a senior manager. I cannot be searched." I think this is where the problem lies. The fact is that systems are in place, and I think that one can see in the extensive comments on page 14 and 15 that policy was largely followed. However, what we have here today is a meeting of turkeys discussing the cancellation of Christmas. Because SAPS and Public Works cannot protect those that will not allow themselves to be protected. And therefore, I agree that we need to have the other stakeholders, and I think both departments have correctly stated integrated stakeholder engagement as a primary way forward for this. So for us to sit here and discuss improving security and beefing up security is all good and well. But in the absence of the Secretary to Parliament, the Union, the chief whips of the various political parties, and the speakers, we're actually on a hiding to nothing trying to improve any security. We need the buy-in of the users, the people that access this premises on a daily basis. I do agree that there are some deficiencies in the fact that we have metal detectors and access controls that are not working is something that needs serious attention. But the fact is that the system generally works, and I'm going to disagree with the Honourable Imam and say that my visitors certainly have been most impressed by the security when they've attended the parliamentary precinct and have gone through the various checks and balances and have been prevented from bringing in things that they shouldn't be bringing in. So I do think that the system is largely working, but we need to get buy-in from the various departments and the people that are accessing Parliament. And I think that is where a stronger focus needs to be. That is in terms of getting people on board, making sure that the people, those around us, especially now as we enter silly season, coming up to the election, everyone here needs to be extremely aware. We submit ourselves to security checks at the airports. I don't see why we can't submit ourselves to that accessing the premises. But the fine line between security and actually hampering freedom of movement is also something that needs to be taken into account, and I do believe that's why stakeholder engagement to measure where that line needs to be, where that balance needs to come in, that is the most important thing we need to do going forward. Thank you, Chairs.
Thank you very much, Honourable Masela.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. First of all, on the presentation by Public Works, I think it's on page 5. If I did hear him very well when he was presenting, he talked of 2018 when the contract will be ending at 2018, and here's 2019. I don't know whether it was a slip of a tongue or this is how it's supposed to be. I just wanted clarity on that one. Apart from that, Honourable Chair and members, I think the issue here is not very much about the equipment that are not working properly, very much, especially on what we are talking about. Yes, indeed, we have got to look into those things and make sure that they all function very well, because they are assisting our officers there at the entrances to be able to make sure that each and everyone who's getting in gets searched and so on. But now the problem is with a situation where some of the people are left to pass through without putting their bags to be searched, without themselves also to be searched, which is actually happening. But I'm glad that in the report there, you did talk about in-service training of the officers who are here and so on. If we can do that to make sure that each and every one of them make sure that they uphold and enforce the law. Every one of them. I'm there, I'm a member of parliament, but if I don't have my tech, I know what I'm supposed to do. I must go and get a temporary one. Whether I'm here, I'm a member of parliament, I must get a temporary one. So that we all make sure that things are done in the proper way. So if we're going to leave people to pass through, that is a problem. That's why I'm saying if we're going to have an in-service training for the officers, it will assist. At times, you know, even if you can get there, as an honorable member just said, if you can get there and get in, even now, you can pass there without being searched. It does happen. Many people, they do. You find them standing there, talking to one another, without checking what is actually happening as we get through. So if we can get to that one, I think it will assist us a lot. Again, there is, I want to have, to make a recommendation here, Honorable Chairs. Public Works is in charge of infrastructure. But within infrastructure, especially as far as security is concerned, we have those technical machines that are being used, like the walkthrough meters and so on, and the x-rays and all those things. I think if the policy is saying all those things should be done by Public Works, maybe we should look into that policy again, revisit it, to ensure that maybe such technical issues are being attended to by that, because they know exactly what they want. They know exactly when it is not really functioning very well. Because at times, if immediately it doesn't work for a day, and we are still going to report to another department that is Public Works, and they're still going to take time to do that, a lot can be damaged because of that. So that is the recommendation that I want to make. If it can be followed, I think it will assist. But the main issue here, to leave people passing through without proper checks. That is the main issue. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masera. Did you have your hand up? Thank you very much, Honorable Member.
Thank you, Chase.
My first question goes to Public Works. You mentioned the preventative maintenance service that was carried out in July 2018, and that showed that all the x-ray machines were working properly. And my question is, what happened between July and now? Because as we see, there are x-ray machines that are not working properly. What happened there? My other one goes to SAFS. Why is the contingency evacuation drills not done? Who must ensure that it happens? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Whip. In fact, Whip, I said you'll be after Honourable Member.
Okay.
Thank you.
I was number 7. I don't know whether I'm still number 7, but so I'm number 7. You number
7. It's your turn. It's now your turn.
Chairperson, we are used that in the police committee you're going around the queue and everything like, but now today we've received numbers. I'm number 7, so I think. Chairperson, I want to start by saying that in Afrikaans we have a saying that says that ons moet nou nie die baba met die badwater uitgooi. What I mean by that, Chairperson, is that we have to get the balance. On the one side, we say we have a parliament for the people, a people's parliament. And, of course, there have to be security measures. But the question is, what was the weakest link in this specific case? The weakest link was a lack of discipline by the static protector. That was the weakest link. And let's be honest with each other. If you go and walk around in Parliament, you go into the entrances of buildings, you can go to Marks Building, for instance, you get static protectors with earphones in their ears, they're listening on their cell phones, they don't even notice who is passing. In fact, sometimes I just want to hit on the table and I think there will be chaos. Because they're not aware of what is happening. They're not doing their work, and I call it a lack of discipline. Because if you are disciplined, then you will do your job. We must be realistic. Of course, the police cannot do a complete thorough search, for instance, for vehicles entering the precinct of Parliament. I mean, then you were going to have a traffic jam every morning. If they do it according to all the rules. But that's why each and every building in Parliament have a different security measures with the detectors and everything. And I'm quite honest with you. I'm not going to be searched every time I enter a building. Are you going to stand there and then they search you to see what is happening? Is anybody willing to do that? The fact of the matter is, there are metal detectors. And if you go through a metal detector, and it can be set according to its sensitivity to pick up certain articles, especially a firearm. And that is a different story. So I want to appeal to the police. Let's go back to discipline. If we had a dedicated, disciplined member, this incident wouldn't have happened. Then I want to go to Public Works, Chairperson, and I don't understand, really. It says on the slide number 6, in 2007 already, there was a planning instruction issued to the Cape Town Regional Office with a specific project description. And it says the parliamentary precinct, upgrade of the security to the entrances to parliament, installation of additional security fencing, create a temporary vehicle search park, and enhance security to various buildings with a number. And then it says the project came to a standstill due to scope creep and as a result became dormant. Can the department please describe to me, and that's my question to Public Works, what is scope creep? Because in simple terms it means you didn't attend to this. How can we expect the police to do a proper work if they are going to create a traffic jam if they do their job properly? There are some other issues as well, Chairperson, but I want to fulfill with this issue. The real weakest link was discipline and lack of discipline from the static protector, and Public Works are actually undermining the South African police services. There are many other examples we can also use. So we must be fair. I want an answer from Public Works on this one, please. Thank you.
Whip. Thank you, Chairperson. I think the presentation by Public Works, they said everything correct, but I picked on one point or two points. They said in order for them to do anything, because this is a heritage site, they've got to approach SARA and the Western Cape Heritage Council or something of that nature. It means the power is with this one. They can't do anything if this one doesn't approve. And after that, they said, of course, they've got to follow a project cycle. That is what they said. That tells me that there can never be any contingency measures if there's no approval from these two institutions. Then what does that tell us? It means they can't do anything. How do you... If you wait for approval on a security measure from these two institutions, then it means you can't do anything. And that is totally unacceptable if we are talking about security. And if you are going to tell us about a project cycle, which might take 3 years, that is totally unacceptable. And the chairperson asked about the Joint Planning Committee, but the real question here is, who should have initiated this? If he is the presiding officer, then they should have been here to explain to us why is that committee not in existence. The last question would be, would labor relations allow the static officers on the gates when it's windy and raining to search a car? I don't think the union will agree to that. There must be some protection, and that can be done. Even if it's a mere tent, it can be put today. I mean, we are not going to expect them with the rainy season to go and check a bus, a truck, in the rain. And those things can be done. And if all of these things are not sorted out, then we are wasting our time here. What are we talking about? If we were to wait for Sarah to approve, then what are we actually saying? Riakoka or... So those things must be dealt with. Can't there be some contingency measure that would override some of these things? If not, then we are wasting our time, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Chairperson, Zakhele Mbele from the Police Committee. And thank you for the presentations. Just one question from my side, and I also want to focus on the human error aspects of the incident that has obviously catalyzed this meeting. Because I think there's at least two aspects to it. There is the accountability enforcement that must happen, as Honorable Furevold emphasized. But I think there's also an important learning opportunity here, because my concern or my question is around whether this lapse in adherence to protocol was simply an exceptional infraction, or was it a symptom of a more chronic and systemic deficiency in the environment? And I specifically want to make reference to the slide that outlines the proposed improved security measures at Parliament around recruitment and selection, training, career pathing, etc. So for example, in carrying out the disciplinary procedure against the static protector, will that process involve a detailed and call it strategic questioning to find out exactly from this member what was the issue here that led to this? I suspect there is an issue of morale in this environment. It can't be the most stimulating job to serve a 12-hour shift in one spot, just watching people pass you by. And if I recall correctly from a previous life in the retail sector doing access control, being on your feet for hours at a time is absolute murder on the lower back. So, you know, is the EHW dimension, for example, having a finger on that pulse to ensure that the well-being and the morale of members serving in that environment is catered for, and therefore enabling them to operate optimally? When they're doing that job, and here I'm thinking specifically of the members who are at the building entrances with the X-ray machines, I always wonder what exactly is happening with those X-ray machines when bags are put through there. When they look at that X-ray image, and I'm not sure it's always showing in all entrances, do they know what to look for? You know, do they know how to interpret that imagery? Are they getting adequate training so that sort of routine that we're all going through and putting our bags through is actually gonna have an informed result? Similar to that, Chair, is whether PSS is treated with the same status or sort of esteem as the other divisions, such as detective services and intelligence, or is it seen as a place, perhaps with the exception of the VIP protection sub-program, as a place where you just put people that you don't really have space for elsewhere in the service, and you know we'll just make you guard the buildings because we can't put you anywhere else? Or do we have the career path thing? Do we have the training to ensure that the members, they feel valued and therefore are able to operate effectively? Because my concern, Chair, is that this might be a more systemic and chronic issue within that environment for the members who are there, and so that's not going to be solved with one disciplinary against one member. If there's a more general issue, and then finally, speaking to the issue of the support to the environment, we got the information that there is a unit commander and the members serve 12-hour shifts. Are the members in the environment supported or backed up, for example, by intelligence briefings? Perhaps General Jacobs, if he's still here, could speak to that. So is there a daily briefing for the members serving at Parliament and perhaps other key points to say that, listen, over this past week or over the past month, these are things that have been picked up on the intelligence dimension that could impact on this environment, therefore your members must have this lens, this radar, this alertness to these security issues as they might impact on the environment? Or are we simply asking the PSS members to arrive at your shift, stand there for 12 hours, and you know, just clock out when you're done, but they're flying blind. They haven't got the training and the awareness and the skill to add value in that post, as opposed to just being human scarecrows. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mbele. Now, Honorable Ramataka.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thanks to the presentation. I also just want to follow the other colleagues that both the public works and the police identified correctly a lapse on that particular day, what actually caused this problem. And the fact that lapse has been, of course, identified, it meant that, therefore, that a corrective measures has to be taken in terms of dealing with that particular aspect. I do want to say the point, Minister, that I think some of the measures that are suggested may just somehow borders on the heavy-handed militarization of the precinct as a result of a particular incident that has taken place, which has been correctly identified, which measures has to be taken to address that particular aspect. I do want to make this point, Chair, that some of the measures that I've listened to General Ravi explaining, some of those measures are measures that may probably not necessarily in keeping with the efforts of Parliament, in terms of Parliament being an institution of people that has to interact with it. You know, we can say all kinds of issues here because of that particular incident, but I think we should not take that kind of heavy-handed approach in dealing with this. Let's rather deal with the lapses that are there. For an example, the police point out here that there are machines, the efficiencies of the machines in terms of what you, in their photos to that extent. But when you look at the presentation of the public works, it's a contrary to that. It actually says, no, everything is fine. The machines are okay. There is no concern about this. So I just think that for me, Chair, for me the focus should be on some of those lapses, including this problem that has been identified correctly by the police, but be measured, be fairly measured in a militarization that may creep as a result of the incident. I'm very, very concerned about that, which is what coming through what I'm listening to, as a reactive to this. So I think the next thing that I just want to say, if in fact correct that there is a suicide note received on the scene and all what has happened in this thing, in this what happened on that particular day, it's that someone that has concluded, it could have happened anywhere, but the conclusion was made, the decision was made that this is the day that I'm going to take my life and I'm preparing it for this. That's what the note is there for, that this is what has happened. The unfortunate part is the scene where it happened. Where it happened in Parliament on that particular day. And it happened as a result of some of the, because I can't find a continuation of sentence. When both you say, the only problem is that he did not put his back through the machine. And I don't hear what then happened when that happened, because basically there was a violation or lapse which was detected by an officer there, whatever that may have happened, but what was the follow through to make sure that actually this matter is nipping in the bud before actually it happens. I don't hear the continuation to say as a result of this we did this, but I hear later a gap when the actually a gunshot was heard in the office. So the point I'm making here, why I'm standing still on this particular question, is that there was something that was identified that should have been followed through, and that did not happen. Yes, I agree that it's not only one person that was on the scene on that particular day. Like if you go down the road now, you'll find there are more than one. So it means the other eyes are helping the other eyes to see what is not seen. That can then be able to deal with that. So the explanation has to happen in that context. So I think, Chair, the issue about the budget, the issue about the deficiencies of the Parliament, the machines, working tools, is something that has to be addressed. I didn't hear much said about it is a budget problem, except to a scope creep problem. But the scope creep problem cannot equal for the system to fail, the breakdown of the system and equipment. That in fact, if you go down the Fortis, that there's a machine there that hasn't been working for some time, and the police identify that machine. It cannot be said it's working. There must be something wrong. Either the people who has done the work, the in-local inspection from the public works, they couldn't find that, but actually we know about that problem. The last point, Chair. General Rabi speaks about this question about a committee that need to be activated. It is there in the policy. It has been there. The question is the lead agency in terms of making sure that that committee is activated. On a parting shot, Chair, maybe the general in your response, do we have some incident in a precinct where it's noticeable that the certain officials who comes or to work with their firearms, and that they are not deposited in the deposit in the safe, because there is a safe on the precinct. Do we have something like that? Do we have any record of that kind of incident, if there's any incident like that? Because I think perhaps stepping back on this and looking at it may well be also another issue that helps us to understand. If it is so, are there voluntary people who deposit their firearms in the particular safe box where they are kept? Because Parliament is a gun-free area, that's why there is a safe, there's a box right at the end of the process. Maybe that's what we will probably have to look at. But my appeal is this, Chair. Let's not use a sledgehammer to kill a fly, basically. It's too big a hammer for that to happen. And I think that, General, from where you seated, I'm just making this appeal, that I think let's do something else that must make this, but let's not make this a military area. And behavior then changes tomorrow. As I read the instructions coming from the General Ravi here, and understand what it means, I think we can do something different and achieve the same results. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. The last hand was from Honorable Abu Telezi.
Thank you, Chair. My hand was not up. Sorry.
Just look at your face. We thought you wanted to say something. We happy you are wild away. Thank you very much. Honorable Karabanat, you want a follow-up?
We're
reluctant to allow it, because if we allow one member, I would be expected to allow everybody. But I'm told I must be sensitive to ladies. Okay?
Our chair is sensitive to all members, sir. I just wanted a yes or no. Has there ever, I've been here for 15 years, been an incident where a member of parliament has come in with some dangerous weapon, a firearm, undeclared, or a minister? Has this ever happened before? Ditto, has this ever happened with a staff member before? I'm very aware of what my colleague Leonard had said, that perhaps we shouldn't go to war in this instance.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I think, honourable members, we have got all your questions. Other members even went on to give even a way forward on some of these issues. It's now an opportunity to both the commissioner and the team, the DG and the team, to give us the way forward. The people of South Africa want to understand that we are doing the work we promised them to do. Can we start with, who want to come first? I think the minister want to hit first. Minister?
Well, sorry, Chairperson, I'll have to run now to point the light to deal with other matters. So I'll be short and run. I don't know why is this increasing coincidence that I find myself agreeing with Kola Banat. Really, I'm beginning to be scared now. I find myself agreeing with her. As she says, this should not be a blame game. This should be a center and these heads and minds coming together to correct the situation. It might be an expensive situation where we have lost a life, but maybe Honorable Matlakan, Leonard, said we shouldn't get a big hammer for a small fly. unless a fly refuses to die. I came a little bit late here, and thanks God I stayed in Kulof because I was told that public works buy for police. I heard that before I came in here. And I was on the angry side until Bernard spoke, the Honorable Member. And the Honorable Bernard spoke. I fully agree. Let's not get deviated and miss the actual things to be done. That's the first point. The second point, Chairperson, I'm conflicted as I'm sitting here. I always worry when security details are put so much on public. I always really worry. Some of them were really details. As I'm seated here, I've been warned by two generals who are not here to say you are going to too much details, and they are worried because there are too many people that listen to us and plan. Too many. There are a lot of planning bodies out there. If you want to hear one day how Keshire's guys plan, they plan so much from us. They plan so much from us. Deviating a little bit, the biggest problem we're going to have now is a change of SASA systems. Of SASA systems paying their grants and all that. And the information that would have been there, I can assure you they are using it. And that double giving us the job to extra plan and chase them all the time. So somebody raised a question of committee. I don't know who is supposed to have done. I suppose that presiding officers would lead this institution on that. That's why it is a gap that that institution is not represented. It is definitely a gap. Which I hope it will be corrected, and then pull all of us together. The question again from Honorable Bernard. I'm told that we're not bound to call each other Honorable outside the house, but in the house you are forced to call each other Honorable. The question of what has happened for last many years since we are here. I don't have the evidence of people coming, but I do have evidence of people saying, do you know who I am? I do have that evidence. People asking the staff, do you know who I am? Now, the officers, without defending them, most of them are constables here. Most of them are constables, very junior guys. They might be long time and all. But if this member asks the constable, do you know who I am? That guy is already pushed down. No doubt about it. If I, as a minister, I ask the officer here, do you know who I am? And that question I saw some other time, it was made an advert where this gentleman was asking in the airport, the check-in, do you know who I am? The lady chose it. Please come and help me show somebody that doesn't know his name. just imagine when the police officer says, yes, you are honorable, Mr. Khrulebat, and so what? There'll be war in parliament of the ill discipline. I withdraw.
Honorable Khrulebat, please be in order. There's a chair in this meeting. But there's a chair in this meeting. So the minister is protected.
That's the first point. The second point, if all these officers can stick to that and no member of parliament comes here, again, there'll be a war. We insist that these members must be trained and recalled. I fully agree. That should be human nature. That includes members of parliament and ministers. Includes them too. To know that this institution, for it to work properly, all of us will have to be cooperative. If we send them to train, this will send the members to train to say what to be a member of parliament. It's not to ask people, who do you think I am? Yeah. Those questions should not come from the ministers, from anybody. That question should not come, because we are creating a conflict. That if these police rise the other day and say, now we know, and he also asks, do you know who I am? And the, both of you will stand there, and there is no answer. Imagine what it will happen. So, unfortunately, presiding officers again are not here, because taking members through these measures would help. That we all work together. So I would suggest that two things. This committee that brings everybody together must be functional as committee. And secondly, all of us, we must know what to do on our workstations, whether an MP, whether a minister, whether you're a police officer, whether a public works. In our workstations, we must know what you're supposed to do. Three, I agree a little bit, Mpemba. There might be some overburdening of police that push their morale down. I think the management is here. We'll have to do, if check on that, if there are things to be changed, improved. Because one thing, 50% of work is done by being having the morale of doing that work. If you don't have morale, you're not going to do the job at all. So management is here. We'll work on that. What can we do to put a little bit of excitement on our members as they do the job and understanding the area, how should the area be done? But the last point, I didn't hear exactly the answer. When these deficiencies have been identified, who must fix them? I think somebody did raise the issue that maybe it needs to go to the police, which suggests now that is with public works, that if we identify and somebody must fix, and then you follow the cycle, that 3 years, when I saw too many cameras that were pointed at not working there, and I don't know when the cycle will come to those cameras. I suspect after the sixth administration. For now, which means we are naked, not literally. We are naked, seated here, waiting for the... So these are the things that will have all come together, talk about, and we say the day the senior manager died, we have seen the light of Jehovah. So these matters were corrected because this incident happened, and we need to really sit down together and fix these things. But that committee, Chairperson, is a first move to pull all those people responsible to come out with the answer. One thing I will urge, I know members of parliament will tell me to go jump on this one. We do need to measure the security discussions in these open committees, because these people that are giving me the feedback are sitting home and watching the parliament. And these are security guys very worried about the discussion, going on here. Thanks very much. I think I'll be allowed to run to the next call.
Thank you very much, Minister. We can't detain you here. You are definitely allowed to move and do more damage to those who are planning against us. National Commissioner and your team.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Chair, as usual, I will take the strategic part, and the team will also come in with the operational flesh. Chair, I just wanted to start with a plea, and I wanted to explain the policy framework, and because this is our plea to Parliament. the Constitution holds subs responsible for security. 100%. Then there's a parliamentary instrument, policy instrument, that says, while you are so responsible, the budget is with Public Works, you must ask Public Works. That is the first thing. And two, the physical security installations, you will be subject to Public Works procurement policy. So this instrument does not support the constitutional obligation to subs. And it's not a problem. We will ask Public Works. But it has been explained already. Where the purpose of security, where it gets defeated, one is that if there's a national security threat to Parliament, I must respond within 24 hours. Where do I find Public Works? And if I buy any of that security installation, it's either unauthorized or fruitless expenditure. I must go to SCOPA. And I was given a 14 days ultimatum, one day. That's right. Then, as subs, we can't go on strategic planning for security because the MTF process forced us to align the budget. So we can't present what we cannot afford. It's lying within Public Works. Then we respond to modus operandi. I think modus operandi advancement is far ahead of some of the things that we're doing. Now, only subs knows the modus operandi and not Public Works. Now, when you have to review your security strategy, you are informed by modus operandi because once the criminal change, you must also change too. We can't do it. The policy doesn't allow us. It holds us at ransom. The project cycle of Public Works has been explained. We cannot defy it. It's a government policy. We must wait for it. But then when the damage is caused, at the present moment, only subs is held accountable for a security breach, irrespective of who did not do his or her job. Only subs. Now it means we're actually taking the responsibility for all omissions in this cycle. And if Parliament can be taken down, subs must come in. I'm sure the first person will be called is the minister. And then I will come second, but I will be unemployed already. My plea to Parliament, can this policy, yes, can it be taken on review? So that it can also correct, allow us as subs to correct the strategic process. I think a year back or 2 years, I was still in protection and security. We went to Hungary to benchmark the security of Parliament. There's a Parliament guard there. The whole budget for security installation is with the Parliament guard. It's not somewhere else. Our suggestion is that maybe this policy be reviewed because, on the other hand, it causes conflicts at times between us and Public Works, which can be avoided. We cannot come to Parliament and accuse Public Works. We must take responsibility. That is SSAPS. So this instrument, our plea is that it might just have to be relooked at so that we can be able to move forward. Chair, your question on the assurance that we giving SSAPS. I think, firstly, we accept that there's been a human error and it requires the strengthening of command and control. And instructions relating to command and control that goes with discipline, they've already been given. And when I received the report, I wanted to know what was the role of the commanders and what did they do.
Commissioner, Honorable Colabana.
I've already apologized for Oh, no, I was just confirming what the minister earlier on said, that these days yourself and him.
Okay. You can go on, Mr. Kosa. It was on a lighter note.
No, thanks very much, Honorable Chair. So, the commanders also, they are going to be taken to book, because it is their responsibility to see to it that the static protectors do the job according to the SOPs. And therefore, that strengthening is going to be taking place, and we will be able to correct that is the situation. But then in terms of the current situation, we are going to support the integrated stakeholder approach with public works, but it will obviously include parliamentary protection. And somewhere we also then plea, because we also want to undertake an exercise of security awareness. And the exercise of security awareness, we need to involve part of the honorable member, part of parliament, so that what we relate to as security direction should also make its way to the Parliament House. But we're then going to monitor, I think, the national command structure of protection and security, monitoring this situation continuously so. Then, Chair, the responsibility for the Joint Planning Committee, the lead agency is the Secretary of Parliament. And we have a quick win action plan that works together between us, parliamentary security board, and the Secretary of Parliament, as well as public works. But what we are going to do, we're also going to request an urgent convening of a meeting between us and Parliament, the Secretary, so that we make sure that the structure is functional. I think I've given our side up until 1st November, and they will support us. The scanners, presently they fall under public works because they not necessarily a part of our asset register. We are the user. And when we speak about the policy part, maybe we'll then have to discuss the future of the scanners, the x-rays, and everything. So we support the suggestion by the honorable members, and it can assist us. Then the SAP's mandate to investigate, I'm not sure, Chair, there was mention made that SAPs came to Parliament to investigate other matters, and they went out, and they don't seem to have the mandate. But I'm sure what I needed to explain, that the moment crime takes place and any area, anywhere, become a crime scene, then SAPS is in charge of that area. Any crime scene, anywhere. The moment it becomes a crime scene, the laws kicks in. Until such time that we've cleared it as a crime scene, we are in charge of that area. And we had some discussions also with Parliament under the security to say what happens when crime takes place right in the house. And then there was also laws, policies that were clearly explained how we can work together. But I just wanted to explain the crime scene responsibility. But our members, they also have got crime scene manuals and SOPs. There's things that they can do, they think that they cannot do. And the same applies to the do's and don'ts within Parliament. Then the protector who was charged, we have already indicated what should happen with regard to the metal detectors. I think as we meet with Public Works, our suggestion would be that we have special dedicated technicians that can assist us if anything is brought into Parliament and it forces us to remove the scanner, and then it gets disorientated, and then so that they can restore it. I think that's a matter that we're going to discuss, and as part of the stakeholder engagement. The training of static, we have a curriculum that is approved for the training of static members. But what I want to then indicate, a part and parcel of the turnaround vision is the review of the training and development strategy of the organization. And what training and development and research has been tasked to do now is to work on the maintenance training, a sustainable maintenance training of static. So we also agree and submit to the fact that the training of static protectors need to be enhanced. But then there was also a question of morale that goes with it. Maybe it might just be important for me, Chair, to indicate that the grading of protection services is starting 1st November. I have already approved it. In static, there will be no constable anymore. The entry to static is going to be sergeant. And it goes with the competency profile. They will have to undergo training and they have to meet certain competency level. And as they go to protection and security, static will be the entry sergeant, and VIP, the entry is warrant officer. So that grading process, it goes with training. We are intensifying the training measures so that we enhance, that is, the competence. We have a belief that this, to a certain extent, will also add to the morale, because it doesn't go without a little adjustment. So there is a little adjustment that's attached to it. Then the EHW side, I issued an instruction while I was still in protection and security that there should be a dedicated EHW component attached to protection and security, and it's still there, to make sure that those members, firstly, they are psychologically and operationally ready to do their job. But then the grading approach that goes with the development of a protection services dispensation is also including rotation, which then means members would go to protection and security as an entry, but they will be trained. They can then be elevated to become the VIP protectors after acquiring certain competencies, and from VIP, so it will be progressive. So you will no longer find a static member who will stay more than 5 years in static. When this member meets other requirements, because they will still be trained, then I think they will elevate to other roles. And yes, again, I also want to confirm the career development is also part of the instruction, because some of them, if they train and meet requirements in certain environments, they will also be allowed to maybe get to those particular environments. Then we have a business intelligence unit within protection and security, which is a dedicated intelligence that works together with CI. This is the unit that is responsible for the briefing of the members on intelligence matters. I'm sure what I've answered the question on the JPC responsibility. There were two questions that relate to any incident that happened in Parliament involving firearms from the past 15 years, and there was another period. I can at the moment say we do not have a record, but we can investigate further, specifically looking at whether did we have any such record, but to this far, we do not have a record of such incident which might have happened. Then the contingency plan, I think it's a matter between us and Parliamentary Protection Services. We are also going to discuss this particular, the matter is part and parcel of the quick win action plan. It's an activity, a key action, which has not yet received attention. But then Public Works is also involved to assist us with the requirements for it that talks to physical security installation. Chair, we support the buy-in of the parliamentarians, and we also then agree that we will then put the security awareness campaign so that we deal with the orientation. We have addressed the weakest link, but what we then would like to bring to the attention of Parliament is that the policy gap that we've pointed out doesn't allow us to put a performance management system. If at the present moment a subs member omits to carry out his or her duty, this person will be subjected to the subs performance management system and thereafter the subs disciplinary code. But if the Public Works member did not do anything here and a security breach occurs, I can't take action against that member. And two, the security breach accountability is not in any of those performance agreements. So then it means I must account for everyone. Yes, and I think why, amongst other things that we need here is a performance management system. And if this policy continues to exist, we'll rather than propose for an integrated performance management system. That will then also begin to tie the responsibility for security to Public Works on certain matters that may lead us to omissions. Chair, with your permission, I would allow the operative just to add, I think, this General Shitlabani.
Thank you. Members, they feel the Commissioner has spoken.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. We now give the opportunity to Public Works, DG, and your team.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair. We, with respect to comments, suggestions that have been made, and questions, I would want to indicate that we welcome the suggestions, both from the Honorable Members and also from colleagues from SAPS with respect to issues related that we should work very closely to ensure that we address all these matters. We also welcome the issue of the policy review. I think it's a very important element. We also want to clarify in the area of the issue of heritage. We are working closely with that institution, and already we have been able to overcome that because they are on board. They are on board already. The area of there was a question that talked about the issue of the scope creep. The clarity is that this is more about when the plan has been finalized with a particular scope, but in the middle of processing, there are serious changes that have a material effect to the initial scope to the extent that it delays the process. I think that's the clarity that we can give. So if there's a major change of the initial scope, we have to go back to the drawing board to ensure that we start from scratch. The other issue that was raised, the preventative measures in between, what is happening currently. There's a quarterly review that we do, but it doesn't mean that if there is a problem, we'll wait for that quarterly review. There will be an intervention because there's a contractor on site whose responsibility is to intervene as and when there are issues that requires attention. there may be areas which I didn't cover, but I think the rest were suggestions which the National Commission has covered. We agree with those suggestions. And with respect to also the issue of corrective measures, if we can find through processes that there has been an omission from the side of public works also, we do have instruments that assist us to ensure that we correct such issues. If it's a contractor that has had some oversight, we'll have some corrective measures. If it's an employee of public works, there will be corrective measures. We will not leave it. We'll also have our own processes internally in the department. My colleagues, I'll give you an opportunity, if there's anything that you believe that does not be covered, to close that gap.
Further addition from Public Works, if any? Going on.
Maybe just an emphasis on the last issue that was raised by the General, by the National Commissioner, on the special dedicated technician that will be working with SAPS. We have the EOH as a contractor on site in Parliament that has that special capability. They are 24 hours on site. If there is any breakages on the equipment that are in Parliament, either the scanner or the X-rays, there is a process that has been followed, logging of the calls, and they attend to those things immediately, unless then there needs to be some repairs that needs to be done on the particular equipment. So we will encourage SAPS also to follow that process if there is any issues that they find with the equipment that are being used.
I can see Dr. Honorable wants to say something, and then I can see that Honorable Iman wants to do the same. Can I request that you would be the last one? You also would want to come in. Because we think the best is also to give proposal, even from the chair here, because from both of your side of the questions, there were way forward. So which we think this may not be the last joint sitting of portfolio. Already, there's agreement that in the second one, Parliament leadership must be here. So I think that there are a lot of proposals that you have already, I think, made. But let's see, Dr. Funaba.
Thank you, Chair. Just a follow-up of what has been said from Public Works on the scope creep. May I ask, what was the critical change in the scope that the project has been abandoned? Thank you.
Sheikh?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my problem is this. SAPS has been repeatedly complaining year in and year out. Previous commissioner, previous minister, about the challenges they have with public works. It's not confined to this particular problem we have here, but in stations, in Port Elizabeth, where we went, all over. It seems like there's really a major problem. Is public works going to sit down with SAPS, and if necessary, the policies have to be changed so that we do not have a situation that we have? That is all I want to know, because it cannot be business as usual going on from year in and year out. And clearly, if you talk about basic education, got a problem with public works. Police has got a problem. Hospitals have got a problem. Clinics have got a problem. When are we able to sit down and find a solution and, if necessary, change those policies so that we can business, can, the performance can improve? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have pleaded that. So I see two hands now. The whip wants to also add something, and the Honorable Kamashaka is the same. Please go through.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I just want to say a very small thing. As my colleague have already said, a time frame.
SAPS must meet Public Works. We must give them a time frame. We know what needs to be changed. It's written in here that the designs and the must be done by SAPS. That's where the problem is. We need them, and that's where the policy needs to change. Public Works don't know anything about the security measures that are needed in say, CI buildings. They don't have a clue. But they can say, no, those things are very expensive, we'll buy you something else. That is the policy that needs to be changed. I'm suggesting that we give a time frame by which the two of them will come here with something that they've prepared that we need to change. And maybe 3 months is a lot, because from SAPS side, they definitely know what needs to be changed. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, Chair, I agree with Honorable Maki. The only thing that I wanted just to emphasize is this. You see, the defense mechanism is not going to help us. I'm reading this and I'm listening to this. And I think the DG for Public Works would have to provide that particular required leadership. I don't think that we don't understand what is a problem and what has been said. So I want to suggest that we then agree that at a particular interval, we should get another meeting with the feedback. And I'm trying to be as measured as possible because I can hear the problem. So I want to really just appeal that let the two departments go and that solve the problem and then give us a feedback in the next interval when we come back at the end of October. Not 3 months. 3 months is long, so we don't have 3 months for this. So that at least we can get a feedback around some of these things. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. We want to also give some a way forward suggestion from the chairs. My colleague would be, the co-chair would be doing that. Co-chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, colleagues, for the input and also the departments. You're listening to the suggestions and proposals. There's 7 takeaways from today's meeting that we need to ensure that it happens. The first issue is...
Sorry, Chairperson. Yeah. Point of order. I've asked a follow-up question. Are we going to get an answer and then we get the recommendations? With great respect, I've asked a follow-up question.
No, I think you have a point there. Your point of order is accepted. I was reluctant, but I thought it was the usual point of order, at least this one. No, there were those. I think DG, I think they were pointing at your desk. Can we get those answers?
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair. One of the indicators for the change of the scope was more about items that were requested at the initial stage as a department, because we look into the financial constraints, the budget. For instance, scanners. The implementation of these items, we put them in a phased approach, phase one, phase two, phase three. But in the discussion, you'll find that the client, because security you can't defer it to the next day or so, will say we'll want scanners in all the entrances. Immediately that actually increases also the scope and the money that's for implementation. And also the issue of the vehicle search point. From our side, we wanted to face it. Phase one, phase two, phase three. But then a security issue cannot be deferred. It's a matter of saying we need to actually ensure that we have this vehicle search points attended to, all of them at the same time. And the issue of, there was also a proposal of a tunnel. There was also a proposal of a change of the whole system, security system, which it's a major project. These are some of the areas that actually change the scope of the work. Thanks very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. If I may bother for recommendations, I can't understand it was vital changes, but 11 years down the line, we still just got nothing. It's as simple as that.
Honourable members, can we request that we give some suggestion from the Chair? I can see Honourable that I wanted to comment. Maybe from the suggestion you may cover yourself, can we be given a space to do that? My question.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members. We've got a number of suggestions after today's meeting going forward. The one is that I think all stakeholders recognize the importance of Parliament and that we must have a safe environment, but it's also important that there should be increased cooperation between the stakeholders. So in terms of the NKP Act, the Joint Planning Committee must be established. So that's the first task, and I mean that is up to Parliament to ensure that it's established as soon as possible. Then there's been suggestions we need the interim report of measures that's going to be taken in terms of the short term to deal with the current deficiencies, because there's still outstanding issues that members raise. So if we can get a report on the 14th of October from the two departments on interim measures that will be taking charge of all these deficiencies, for example, the issue of the scanners and so on the 14th of October. Then thirdly, it's quite clear that there needs to be regular and unannounced inspections by SAPS, Public Works and Parliament Protection Services to look at the environment. So then fourthly, very importantly, there's the Joint Committee on the Financial Management of Parliament that replaced the old Oversight Committee. They're actually the Oversight Committee of the Executive Authority of Parliament, and we suggest that we've got to meet with them in the next 2 weeks, the Management Committee of the two committees, Public Works and Police, with the Joint Committee on the Financial Management of Parliament, because it also relates to the issues that's outstanding for 3 and 5 years. Then very importantly, that there should be, again, the issue of benchmarking be done in terms of the security of Parliament. Now, our committee has done visits to Northern Ireland, China, and etc. There's no way you're going to enter those parliaments without proper screening and the proper procedure. Why can't we have it in South Africa? Then we also suggest that there should be a joint meeting on the 13th of November. It's a Tuesday, with all role players, that is now SAPS, Public Works, as well as the Oversight Committee of Parliament, 13 November 2018, and then have a broader discussion of the outstanding issues. And the last issue is that we want to make an appeal on all members of Parliament, staff, especially senior staff of the institutions, that they comply with the security prescripts and give their support and to the relevant role players, Parliament Security and SAPS, when they officiate their duties. So that is in a nutshell the suggestions from the table.
Thank you very much, honourable members. From where we sit, we think we have done a bit, and we must appreciate that the house is full. The members of the SAPS are here in full. The Department of Public Works in full, honorable members are here in full. So your input was also very helpful. I think it's giving clear assurance to the people out there that you are in control of Parliament and South Africa. The reality that we must keep in mind, honorable members, in life, each one of us, I'm now talking as a person who have seen these things,
would want all what you have to be given first priority. But when you are having a country such as South Africa, a developing country with a lot of needs from every sector, I think Honorable Sheikh Imam has indicated that the Department of Basic Education complaining, that department is complaining, that department is complaining. That's the nature of a developing a nation. You can't satisfy all departments at a go. You see, unless you are able to come with, you know, miracles. So the reality is that we must always prioritize. Always prioritize. That's what we think National Commissioner, DG, you guys must speak on daily basis. And if you can't speak, we will force you to speak. Because it assists when you are able to. And sometimes you even involve the Treasury. These are your colleagues, isn't it? You all from the same universities. I'm told police have even extra universities for police. So we will think, let's do that. Let's have a regular meeting, but understanding the complexity of developing nation. So we, as public works, we're from Germany. So we visited the parliament there. Indeed, you can confirm that parliament are really strict in terms of applying the policies. So we can really share all those best practices. So, honorable members, so we want to thank everybody. Let's do the bit we can do. When we close the meeting, it doesn't mean then the work stops. So it means the commissioner and the team, the DG and the team, continue run like the minister is running. So we have now come to the end of this meeting. Thank you very much. Thank you.